This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Our guest at this time is Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. We want to get his thoughts on the competing plans out there, specifically two of the recently announced Senate plans, which Mr. Norquist is very concerned about as he sees them as a major vehicle for tax increases, despite the public relations spin put on these various proposals. And Grover, thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, good to be with you.
Let's talk about the role that your organization's had here. You have put forth the Taxpayer Protection Pledge, which has been signed by many Republican members of Congress. Explain for our listeners what it says and what you find acceptable and unacceptable in dealing with this debt ceiling deadline.
Sure. The Taxpayer Protection Pledge simply says that people will vote against any and all efforts to raise taxes. It means, in the context of this debt ceiling fight, that people who sign the pledge are making a simple commitment that they want to reduce spending, not raise taxes. Obama has spent a great deal of money and thinks it's now the job of the American people to pay his bills. The position taken by almost every single Republican and one or two Democrats is that we're not raising taxes. We're going to cut your spending down to size. So the role that the pledge has made is it made it easy for candidates for office to make a commitment not to raise taxes and to stick to it.
There are two proposals on the Senate side that have been discussed. As you mentioned, nothing official on paper yet. One from Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, who has been in and out of this Gang of Six, and then a separate plan from the Gang of Six. What we know is that Coburn wants to cut $9 trillion over time. He also calls for revenue increases, and you and he have had back and forth on that, to say the least, in recent weeks and months. The Gang of Six plan claims to cut about $3.7 trillion over 10 years. It would reduce marginal rates and make up the difference with apparently closing a lot of tax loopholes and deductions, taking those off the table. You've been very outspoken saying that that is also a tax increase. Explain why you believe that that's not an acceptable compromise position.
Well, the Coburn plan, I think, is $7 trillion in spending restraint, $1 trillion in imagined interest payments not having to be paid, and $1 trillion in tax increases. And when you look at it, and since the Republicans in the House have already passed a $6 trillion spending restraint bill, the Ryan budget plan, most of what Coburn does is repetitive in his spending cuts. Why add the trillion in tax increases? Who's going to vote for the budget cuts with the tax increases? No Democrats voting for the budget cuts, and no Republicans voting for the spending increases. So that's not a plan, it's a list. And it's a list of ways to, quote-unquote, reduce the deficit, not a list of the ways to reduce spending. So I don't know quite why Coburn did that, other than to point out that he's got a long list. And unfortunately, he is committed to the idea that raising taxes can be part of the solution. But if the problem is too much spending, how does giving Washington more money solve anything? And he can't answer that question because it doesn't have an answer. As to the Gang of Six, this is an effort by Senator Durbin to write down the plan. Obama had a commission that he put together, that so-called debt commission, and they came up with $2 trillion of tax increases, $2 trillion of amorphous spending restraint. And that's now shown up again as the Gang of Six. The National Taxpayers Union today at a meeting said they thought there were $2 trillion of tax increases in this Gang of Six package that Coburn has also endorsed. The spending cuts are a little tough to tell. The plan isn't written down. It's an outline form. So, and they say things like, we ought to cut certain tax rates, and then they give you a range of somewhere between 23 and 29%. And all of these decisions will be made by the Senate Finance Committee, the majority of whose members were appointed by Senator Reid. So you've got a plan, most of which is somebody over there that Senator Reid appoints will actually make the final decisions. But if you read the talking points, it's a pretty exciting plan.
We're talking with Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform. And Grover, the other idea being floated out there is from Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, who says we don't want to raise taxes. We want nothing to do with that. We also don't want to end up in a default situation. So perhaps we should allow the president to have the power to raise the debt ceiling, and it would take a two-thirds vote in both chambers to stop him. And we don't have the votes to do that, but at least we'll be on the record A lot of conservatives see that as basically punting on this. Where do you come down on that? And if it does come down to one of these plans or a potentially default situation on August 3rd, where do you stand?
I think people are confusing what you want with what you can get with what is the worst possible thing that could happen. And what I want, and I think what most taxpayers want, and what Republican leader Boehner and Republican leader Mitch McConnell want is cap, cut, and balance. All of the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate and Americans for Tax Reform, my tax group, we've all endorsed that plan. Serious budget cuts, real budget cuts, entitlement reform, constitutional amendment to balance budget. That's choice one. That's the best that could happen. Although Obama may not sign it, and the Senate might not pass it, but the best you could design if you could win it. The worst that could happen is that we raise taxes and have a phony spending reform, exactly what happened to us in 82 and 90. That's the worst that could happen. If that happened, Tea Party people, Republicans, taxpayers would look up, see the two political parties and say, a pox on both your houses, you're no stinking good, to heck with all of you, I'm staying home, and the Republicans lose the House and don't capture the Senate and don't get the presidency. In the middle is what Mitch McConnell said. He says that we need to avoid the worst that could happen, fight for the best that could happen, but if we can't get everything we want and we want to avoid getting completely smashed, middle choice would be some modest budget cuts, no tax increase, and Obama gets to say, I refuse to do serious, significant budget cuts, and I decide to increase the debt ceiling, so that he alone decided to increase the debt ceiling without congressional support and enthusiasm, and he's responsible for not spending more, that at least the country would see who owned the debt ceiling increase, who wouldn't cut spending. And we are this week having a vote in the House, which passed. Almost every single Republican is for it. Cut, cap, and balance, cutting spending, capping future spending, balanced budget amendment. And the Senate votes probably this Saturday on the same thing. So the Republicans are saying where they are. The Democrats and Obama are refusing to tell you where they are. What McConnell would do is at least smoke out the president to admit what his policies are, and then we move forward to the 2012 election. So I'm not for the Mitch McConnell plan in the sense of that's not the best you can do. It's a big improvement over losing.
We'll certainly be watching, and certainly Americans for Tax Reform has played a major role in the debate to this point. Grover, thank you very much for your time today.
You got it. Take care.
You too. Grover Norquist is president of Americans for Tax Reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.